What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's out back on the fan. Let's get back to the phones here, BT. 888-808-1019. We've talked about a lot today. Heavy Knicks, of course, earlier with the Mitchell Robinson thought, the idea of trading him. We had Ian Begley of SNY on as well, clearing up the idea that maybe the Knicks could get a backup center and still keep Mitchell Robinson in play, hoping that he comes back at some point in February. We also talked about the passing of Bob Uecker, which led us to a discussion about, we talked about Mr. Belvedere, which led us to a discussion about TV show theme songs, which we're going to do our power rankings coming up in about 13 minutes of our top five TV show themes. So I'm looking forward to that. We did a little Aaron Glenn and the Jets, and now the news of potentially the Blue Jays being in on Pete Alonso, which maybe opens up another path for the Mets to get Vladimir Guerrero.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. Usually you get a little bit of a dry spot here. And I think it's been kept interesting by the, you know, again, maybe it's a little bit much here, but you just think about what's going on in our sports world. Like, a lot of the stories are really important ones. It's like, you know, over the years, sometimes, you know, January, February, you got to reach for stuff. Like, there's just not a lot happening. But, you know, the Jets have interviewed 20 people. They're hiring both the, you know, head coach and GM.
Arthur Smith today.
I can't stand that. Better not happen. You know, I can't. I that will not accept
I don't think
that.
He's awful,
I will
but,
not yeah. accept that. That better not happen, and it won't. But, you know, the Jets are obviously very busy. The Knicks have been. When they're good, they look amazing. When they're it's worrisome, and they got some issues, which are interesting. Mitch coming back, obviously the stuff with Vladdy. You know, the Johnnies are humming. We were talking about them yesterday. They won a 10 of 11 games. So there's just a lot going on. Giants quarterback stuff. It's not quiet right now.
What are the Yanks up to?
Well, what the Yankees are doing right now. Wise guy.
Well, I'm only saying that, and I just joke. I'm joking around,
I know you are.
But we were talking about it during the break, like, and I think that that's legit. I think if the Yankee fans see this and think, "Uh-oh, the Mets could be getting Guerrero Jr. too," what's your natural instinct as a Yankee fan?
My first instinct will be good because then Toronto's even weaker than they would be right. going into the season because Pete's taking over for Vladdy, number one. So the Yankees might win 95. No, I mean, listen, we were joking. Like, is there a little envy here? Like, come on, but you got to understand. The Yankees did all their heavy, and I hope there's one more move, truly. But the Yankees did all their heavy lifting early. You know, missed out on Soto, bang, here's the pivot. First base took a little longer than I would have liked. I would have preferred Christian Walker. I've said that. They didn't do it. All right. Max Fried is an absolute horse. They've got, you know, Devin Williams is a closer. Yep. He's filthy. Pete Alonso, home run aside, he's historically basically unhittable. And the Yankees have a sick staff. You know, Weaver getting relegated to a better spot because now Devin's the closer. Like, the Yankees on paper, I love where they are. I'm intrigued by Dominguez. I'm intrigued by Volpe year three. I really like Austin Wells. Judge is the best player in the game. You got to figure out where Jazz is playing. And I just think it's you know, it's bothered me a little more today. Not in a bad way, but just like maybe I'm more aware of it because now I'm hearing you guys start squawking about maybe Vlad and Soto.
Right.
But
well,
the Yankees have a very good team, and everybody knows that.
The excitement level has not been there for the Mets fan in a very long time, and never to this extent where they get Soto, and now the idea of getting another young superstar in his prime and Vlad, I mean, that is very exciting. Yanks have their big moves. And look, with the Yankees, similar to what you would say sometimes with the Mets, well, okay, well, now you got to go out there and do it on the field. The Yankees may not have had the most explosive, exciting offseason. When you lose Soto,
yeah,
it's hard to do that, but they did have a sound at the very least.
Very offseason. Good. I love what they did.
And now when you see it, you know, night in, night out, and then you say, okay, well, we don't need the sexy splashes.
Yeah, we want it in real time.
Right.
But there's always the story that actually happens when the season starts.
Correct. And it is different for the Mets, who never have the sexy splashes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want that, and now, okay, well, you satiate that.
Oh, you know, look at satiate.
Yeah, that
you busted out the word satiate?
You quench that thirst, I don't know, whatever.
Just make sure that I used it right, but it sounded good.
But now that when you get that taken care of, okay, well, now you got to go win. I don't care what big names you're in on or who you get. Now, ultimately, you got to go win.
Hey, how we spelling satiate? Quick.
No shot.
I'm going S-A-T-I-A-T-E. Satiate. S-A-T-I-A-T-E. Sounds right,
yeah,
though?
Maybe.
Satiate?
Maybe.
Satiate?
Hoff, S-A-T-I-A-T-E. You want to get in on this?
T-E? Him.
Satiate.
Well, how do you say, what?
Satiate.
Is there like a silent P?
Meaning to BT, you want to explain the definition of it?
Well, I mean, he went to Catholic high school. He should know.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
He went to Stepanak. It's a good school. It's not quite Xavier, but you should know this.
To satiate.
Come on, dude.
To satiate.
Why is he playing dumb the last week?
No, this is just me, unfortunately.
Use it in a sentence. The Mets have satiated their fan base.
They've satisfied. Yeah, satisfied.
Okay, there you go. Good job, Dove. Yeah. Okay, it was testing everybody.
Quenched.
Oh.
Okay, well, how do you spell satiate?
S-A-T-I-E-F.
Can you look it up?
Can you try it?
It's S-A-T-I-A-T-E.
That's a simple one, dude. That's like first page of the SAT.
Now,
that's not even an SAT word.
Now,
it's a freshman year word. Eighth grade word.
A baloo is a bear. Now, I will give you, that was from one of those tests back in the day. Remember those? We talked about it, the Scantrons.
What, Scantrons?
A baloo is a bear. Although, I remember hearing that one.
No, I didn't have the hearing. I had the just a pencil.
A baloo.
I just fill in any circle. I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Before we get back to the calls here, you did say jazz again. When referring,
I did.
Yes, you're kind of torn on that. So you mentioned the Thibodeau thing before, or Thibodeau thing, or whatever you want to say.
I said jazz. You said instead of jazz.
Instead of
jazz.
That's
weird. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Is it jazz or jazz?
It's jazz.
Okay.
To me,
jazz.
You sure I said jazz?
You did. Yeah. What about the team Utah
Jazz? No, right. It's definitely jazz.
Okay.
All that jazz, the
music,
jazz singer, Neil Diamond.
You said jazz again. If we could get back the instant replay on that, I want to play that. Jazz.
DJ Jazzy.
Jazzy Jeff.
Jazzy,
right,
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Yeah. Jazzy.
Right, let's get back to the calls here. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the conversation. Rob is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Rob?
Robbo.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thanks, man.
Sal.
Yeah.
Your spider senses, you're on track. Or what you're saying about Vlad and the Toronto Blue Jays coming to the Mets. But I'm going to give you a little perspective after listening to watching the interview that he did at a Dominican podcast in the Dominican Republic.
Who's this, Vlad or Soto? You're talking about?
I think Soto.
Okay. Vlad.
Oh, Vlad. Okay.
So Vlad Jr., he said it, but he really didn't say it because he can't. Besides, he's still under contract. But you can read between the lines. So he is tight with Soto. So you are on. You're correct on that.
Okay.
And his preference is coming to the Mets, but there's a second team that is 1A. The Yankees are 1B because he didn't mention the Yankees. You know, because his father made him walk it back because of the money issue. Because the Yankees will pay him, but he gave praises to Judge and he loves the ballpark. He said it. That is his favorite ballpark to hit. But the second team that is up there with the Mets. That nobody's talking about, and BT just said it before going on the break, it's the San Diego Padres because he is very, very tight with Fernando Tatis Jr. That is his boy. Hmm. They are locked in together. So Soto is his friend. They're friends.
Yeah.
Because they growing up, before they got signed, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
But his man is Fernando Tatis.
Okay.
So he is in the scheme of everything. Is King Cohen 1A, San Diego Padres, Tatis 1A also. Then it will be the Yankees, Judge, the Pinstripe.
Yeah, and maybe
everything else.
We also don't know, Rob, and thank you for the call and for the insight. We appreciate you checking in. We also don't know how much of that is just posturing to get a better deal. Like, I don't know, maybe Vlad does want to be a Yankee.
I think what he said he meant. and it would be dumb to take out a team that would probably bid for you. As Pops is like, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, get the Yankees in a hopper.
Right. I don't think he really wants to go to the Yankees. I think he would be trying to just have them in the mix. You shouldn't eliminate any team, especially one with the Yankees' wealth. So I'm now about the Padres thing. That could be interesting. But again, if you do the math and he is friends with Soto and it is the Mets and they have the money and they have a needed first base, and there's not just out of nowhere, there has been reports, Andy Martino reported, the Mets have inquired about trying to trade for him. He didn't say that the Yankees are trying to trade for him, not, or the Padres, not that they aren't, I don't know, but like the report was that the Mets inquired about him. And the bigger point, and this is what hit me last night, we talked about this, they had to promise Soto something. What was it to promise Soto as far as the protection in the lineup? And it couldn't have just been Pete. And even if it was Pete and that was good enough for Soto, then it would have been done already. So what else could it be? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. fits that. What else could it be? And it just makes sense.
Okay, so the thing about Pete, like, if that was enough to satisfy Soto, because I do agree that the Mets, promised might not be the right word, but certainly positioned, hey, here's what we're doing, here's our plan.
Of course,
reassured, that's a good word. Right. Reassured him, we're going, right?
Here's
it's go
what
time.
We might be doing or trying to do.
Yep, and if he views Pete as acceptable enough, independent of Vlad, why wouldn't the Mets have signed it? Because that would satisfy what Soto wants and everything would come together. Well, my only answer to that would be, why give him 90 if nobody else has 90 out there? So they could still want to sign Pete, which I don't really think they do. Soto could still be okay with Pete, and Pete, I guess, could still wind up with the Mets, but for less money. Like, why? You don't do it to satisfy Soto when you can save $25 million. $25 million is still $25 million. Yeah. Until I see other concrete offers, maybe they're not there.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Mike is calling from Holtsville. What's up, Mike?
Hello.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Brandon? Brandon, I got a question.
Okay.
You need a win. Goals on the mound. What top three are you taking? Freeman, Betts, Ohtani, or Lindor, Soto, and Vladdy?
This came up. Freeman, Freeman, Betts, Ohtani, and Lindor, Soto, or Vladdy. Who do I think is the better trio?
He said he'd hang up and listen. Who are you taking?
The Dodgers.
I guess with the game on the line.
I'm still taking the Dodgers. I'll tell you why. Okay, if I was to rank them like this, who's the best hitter of the group? Or who's the best player? I know I could say Soto, but I'm going to say Ohtani because of the 50 steals. And even if he doesn't steal 50, he's going to steal 25, whatever. So I'm going to say Ohtani 1. I'm going to say Soto 2. I'm going to say Betts 3. And I can make an easy case that actually Betts would be 2 all around, but I'm talking about hitting. So to me, you know, Lindor, and it's not a diss. I know some of you will take it as that, but it's not. These are amazing all-time Hall of Fame players that were splitting hairs. So Lindor would probably be 6 for me. And then I would have, who am I missing? Freeman and Vlad. I would prefer Freeman up there in the clutch over Vlad. So Ohtani, Soto, Betts, Freeman, Vlad, Lindor. 2 of those are Mets. Hence, of the three trios, you know, of the two trios, hence my answer is the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, you it depends what circumstance you're putting them in. I would take Soto in the clutch over any of those players, so he would be my number one. That includes the big bad Shohei Ohtani. Give me Soto. I saw what he did, Ohtani, in the World Series in the postseason.
Yeah, I get it.
I saw what Soto did. So I'd rather have Juan Soto.
Freeman's pretty muddy, too, dude.
Oh, understood. I mean, he also did it against Nestor Cortez. Freeman's.
But he's done it. He's done it before.
I don't want to knock Freddie Freeman. Freeman's great. Right. But Now do the, okay, well, who would you rather have for the next 5, 10 years, whatever it is? Freeman is older. You know, Betts, I don't think showed well in the postseason, specifically in the World
Series. A lot of bloops and singles. And,
he's a great player, but.
But part of the reason why they beat the Yankees is because of his elite play in right field.
Yeah, okay.
Cutting balls off to the gap, stuff, Soto, you know, but.
He's a great player.
He's not 25.
Freeman hobbled, and he's older.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Guerrero, you know, and I want to see Guerrero every day.
Well, for the next 5 years, I'll answer it. It's next 5 years, it's no order. Soto and Vlad are on the list because of the age.
Right.
I'll probably still say Ohtani because he's going to get back on the mound.
And also, it's easy to say that Lindor could be last on that list, but he also should have been the MVP last year and was only second to Ohtani.
He shouldn't have been the MVP. Would you stop with that? We're going to go back to this.
Well, I mean, I think he should have because I value a player playing defense. But even if I give you Ohtani, Mookie Betts wasn't up for an MVP.
No.
Freddie Freeman wasn't up for an MVP.
Past.
Okay, but I'm just saying, last year. Freddie Freeman wasn't up for an MVP.
Yeah. Who do I think will have the better, again, we're splitting hairs. Who do I think is going to have the better statistical season this year, even though I know we went to the 5 years out? I would take Betts over Lindor.
In the next 5 years?
No, just for this year coming up.
Just for this year. Okay, I mean, that's fair.
And honestly, next 5 years, it might still be, how old's Mookie? 30?
I don't know.
Either way.
You know, Lindor's shortstop also.
These are all terrific players.
Yeah. Put it this way. I'll give you the Dodgers if you want to take him. I'd be perfectly happy.
And it's close enough to debate.
Yeah.
Exactly. I get it.
Be perfectly happy with that trio for the Mets. We'll come back. We'll do our little power rankings. You want to power up and give us the top five theme show? You got something here you want to give me?
He was just telling me that Mookie's going to be 33 this year. Wow. Older than I thought. Thank you, Hal. Appreciate it, buddy. You sure you don't want to throw Iglesias in there? Your real MVP from last year? Oh, my God.
All right, we'll come back. We'll continue with your calls, but we'll get to our rankings. Power rankings of the top five.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our top five TV theme show songs when we come back.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus. Now it's time to power up with BT and Sal.
All right, BT, let's do a little power rankings here, but not of the NFL teams as we head to the divisional round this weekend. Of our top five TV show theme songs. This was almost impossible to do. As a matter of fact, we'll have to have a part two at some point down the road. But kick us off. Let's go 5-1.
Okay, descending order.
Yeah, descending order. Give me what you have. Number five, top theme show. TV song. I will.
And to your point about having a second part, this is the kind of thing. Now, most of these are staples, but if I did this in 3 months from now, I probably would remember one that I forgot here. All right, number five. Let's go. I used to love this show. I love the open, you know, welcome to Brooklyn, the fourth largest city. You know, that's where I'm from. The trains, McDonald Avenue. I remember one of the opens, there was some dude walking the streets wearing a Ty Cobb baseball satin jacket. I used to play against Ty Cobb all the time. So, I mean, just a million elements of nostalgia. I just loved the Sweat Hogs. I thought it was legitimately funny. It was a diverse, eclectic cast. I mean, this was money. Welcome back, Kyle, to number five.
I'm familiar with the theme song, not as much the show, although I've heard about it. All right, my number five is... Remember the waterfalls and all that stuff?
Yeah, okay, this is your thing.
Were you a Married with Children fan?
Loved it.
I loved this show. I remember, I just alluded to it earlier, Sunday nights were a thing in my house. The Simpsons, Married with Children, this song would come on. My parents loved it. I even understood it somehow without fully understanding it. I think it's even funnier now that I am married.
Yeah. Yes, that's funny.
Al, I get you now. I get you, Al. But this was a great theme song, and I just loved the opening setting.
Me too.
And then the stamp at the end. That was great.
How about this? I would guarantee that you feel the same way. I'm not trying to be too crude, but when I'm watching the show, like when I'm 15, 18, I didn't think Peg was attractive at all. Like,
looking
she's
back,
not bad.
Yeah. Well, come on.
Right?
I know.
Put together,
well,
all right.
Well, remember, too, from a younger perspective, it was Christina Applegate.
Oh, well, that's, I mean. No, she's great. I love her.
Peg Bundy. Yes. Especially Katie Siegel, I think her name is.
Yes, it is.
And without that hairdo in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. All right. Number four. I love this show. Show me that smile. Just good, wholesome family stuff. Kirk Cameron, Joanna Kearns, the mom.
This is a great song.
Yeah, the little brother was a bit of a tool. I don't know if we really needed him around.
But Leonardo DiCaprio in that show as
yes,
well.
Yes, he was. He. I just remember his buddy Boner, his friend Boner.
Yeah, Growing Pains, of course.
Of course, yes. Growing Pains. And what was the dad's name? The psychiatrist. He passed
Alan
away.
Fick.
Yeah, he passed away.
The Seavers. They were the Seavers.
Just a great family.
Yeah.
Just a happy family. You know, they listened to mom and dad. They were well educated. They had some money. Good stuff.
All right. Now, remember, I'm not going based off of show here. I'm doing both.
Because I love... Yeah, I got you.
But in this particular one, I liked the show. I didn't love it. It was never my favorite.
Yeah.
But I couldn't leave this theme song off my list. I mean, this is one of the most famous... best theme songs for TV shows ever.
Yes.
I'm not a huge Friends fan. It was always Seinfeld first. Friends was okay. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But this song.
I love the show. I love the song. Yeah. Who sang the song? Do you remember?
The Pretenders?
Well, there was another band. Well, I don't think it was the Pretenders. That's close.
I want to say the Radicals, but I'm not.
No, not the Radicals. Maybe it was the Pretenders.
Yeah.
But it was like two words. You're in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Good call. Awesome show.
All right. So number three for you now.
Oh, my God. Now, I didn't stumble upon this until syndication. It's got a lot of historical merit, as a matter of fact. If you look this up, this is the first, and this is why I love it, but it's an interesting fact. This is the first sitcom about an all-black family.
Really?
1972. Yes, CBS. And it was just gritty. I mean, it was a family who had nothing.
This was before the Jeffersons.
Before the Jeffersons, yeah, a couple of years before that. Okay. But the song, it's just, the song's got soul, the open, look at it, like the buildings in Chicago. I love the show and I love the song.
Great song. I'm not as familiar with the show. I've obviously heard about it.
Yeah.
The Rembrandts, not the Pretenders.
That's
the Rembrandts,
right.
was the one before.
The Pretenders. There you
All
go.
Right. Number three for me, this is an old one. I remember watching it in syndication, but I love the show and I loved this theme song. Sunday, Monday, happy day.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy day. Thursday, Friday, let this happy one go day. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are
ours. I
stuff.
I can picture the Open. And it's hard to even not have that number one, honestly.
I know. Now, if you stumble upon Hello Blue, if you stumble upon Happy Days Now, do you keep it on or do you keep flipping? I keep it on.
I actually have not stumbled across it in forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have. I mean, probably not often.
But. If I did, I would probably keep it on for a little bit just to reminisce and relive it.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to check
the
that out.
The funny thing, I got a little barbit over this. If you look at the first season, possibly the second season, Fonzie didn't wear a leather jacket. Henry Winkler, you know why?
No.
Think about how much society's changed. The network, I think it was ABC, the network executives deemed it too racy because you had like the greaser element and the bikers and like, you know, crime and stuff. So they didn't want to put a main character in a black leather jacket on primetime TV.
Too controversial.
True story. Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Isn't that nuts? All right, number two for me. Now, I love the show, and this was a family show. I mean, it was awesome, and this music was the best.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Just drumming, doing his thing.
You may not be writing songs.
Mrs. Garrett. What you talking about, Willis? Little guy, Dana Plato. Many of them died. I mean, very tragic.
Actually. I used to love that show.
Awesome show.
Love this one. This is a great call.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know we skew older.
Yeah, well, because you're more,
Understand, you're going back in time. My number two is more recent, although you go back to over still 25 years ago, but it's more recent. Hate to leave the classics off, which is why I say we need to do multiple versions of this.
Okay.
But I had to put this on my top five. Come on.
Oh, God, I missed this.
Come on, man. You just hear it. And you feel it, and you see Tony driving, you just...
And now we both live in Jersey, and we're going through Route 3, we're going here. You know, I wasn't thinking cable. Damn it, damn you.
Honestly, what I did throughout the course of the show, during the breaks, I've been looking at a list of all the songs. I had to have
this
song.
This is money.
Yeah.
I used to actually, I had the CD, and I used to drive around banging this song. Like, I thought I was Tony. Like, where are you going? Do you go to drop a hit? Go pick up money? What are you doing, dude? All right, now... this is the kind of show, and again, the music just pops. I'll tell you what it is in a second. But number one, in college, Appointment TV. I love the cast, I love the premise, and the opening, it's go time. Oh, yeah. I don't care what anybody says, call me a cornball. I don't care. When you got, you know, Luke and B dapping up before they, you know, as they break it up, they open there and da-da-da-da. I loved it, dude. I've watched reunion shows. I watched the reboot during COVID when Brandon and Kelly, you know, hooked up in a hotel. This music's the best.
Beverly Hills 90210, of course. I'm with you. I would have probably had this on my list, too, but it was one that we were discussing and we want to have the same songs. But that, I mean, that's a great, even when it kicks into that second part.
But I know you love the music. Did you love the show?
I did. When I was a kid.
Who was your favorite character?
Probably Brendan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Brandon.
Probably Brandon.
He was a bit of a geek.
He was more
nerd.
No, he wasn't a geek. Like, Steve was
a
maybe
goody
a goody
two shoes a little bit.
See, Luke Perry Dillon. He was too.
Well, he kept it interesting.
Yeah,
he was always
that's
he was drunk
you.
Or he was fighting or. No,
I mean, that's more like, you know, and I'm more probably like Brandon.
And you're
like,
a geek. That's true. You got it right the first time. No, it's good.
All right. No, that is a great song. My number one, and I love this show as well. And I don't know how I could. On any list that I would have, this has to be number one. Go ahead, Dove.
Number one.
Oh, dude.
Wow, good.
This song?
I know it. Number one.
Now this is a story about how my life got
I'm
flipped
not saying
my
favorite
upside down. Down.
Although, I did love Tatiana Ali. Had a major crush on her.
Yeah, I love the whole cast, actually. The cast was great.
It was
great
phenomenal. Love the show. I'm not saying it's my favorite combination of show and song, but I think if you're just taking just songs... I love the show, I love the song, but just songs, this one is one I could play as a regular song.
Really?
Consistently. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, of course.
That's a money call. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You know what's funny? The dad, who was awesome, I always said that he always looked like Mike Jarvis.
Yeah.
Right? With the beard and a big guy?
Yep.
Wow. Now,
Uncle Phil.
Yeah. What did we leave out? Like, what was on the cutting room
floor? What didn't you guys leave out? Yeah. You left out, like, half the songs.
Well, give us some.
I've got
Full
a bunch.
House.
Yeah. No, not Full House. I mean, I like
Full House, Perfect Strangers,
no.
Fantastic.
You know
yes.
which ones that like Dukes of Hazzard? That's a great song.
Just a good old boy.
We both left off the Jeffersons. I had it, but
it's a great one.
I know. I just wanted to get my. That's why I said we got to do a second version.
What about Mesh?
Yeah, I mean that's one that could be up there.
I always found that depressing.
Yeah, the Gary Shandling show. You
yeah,
that?
I like the show.
The theme.
Wait, how did it go? How did it go?
The theme,
it's slow,
the
right?
Gary show.
Nah, I didn't like that.
Oh,
theme.
Come on, that was a great theme song.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Would you put Curb on there? I mean, that was classic.
Not for a top five open.
Better than Seinfeld.
Well, we'll do another one.
Yes.
When we do the second iteration.
What about Too Close for Comfort? I know. Not that one. The other one. Too Close for Comfort. He was actually a cartoonist. Ted Knight, who was hysterical. Ted Knight was a great comic actor. And he was an artist in San Francisco with the two daughters. And they lived downstairs.
My two dads? No.
Not that one. But you said it before with Schneider. Remember the janitor would come up? I never
trusted
him.
One day at a time.
Okay, yeah, I had that. Yeah,
that
I had that
was
on my
a good
list.
One, too.
One Day at a Time was good. Sanford and Son.
Sanford and Son was
Brady
a good
Bunch,
show.
Gilligan. Like, there's so many that we don't have time to do the whole thing. As a matter of fact, we should take a break.
Actually,
and get
I think
back
the boss is here
cold.
Saying we should keep on going with it.
Is it like this? Pearls, are you liking or are you hating?
We have to have part two of that. David's in there. He loves the show.
Hey, finally like something.
We will do part two of that at some point in February or the coming months or whatever before baseball season.
That's good fun, right?
That was a fun power rankings right there. All right. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll take a quick break, come back, and get back to your calls here. Talking Vlad, talking Mitch, talking Aaron Glenn to the Jets, whatever's on your mind to close out the show. 888-808-1019.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Today's call of the day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. NBT, a special call of the day or tweet of the day. We have some breaking news as it pertains to the New York Mets. Number one, the Mets are bringing back Jesse Winker to be their DH, 1 year, $8 million.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
That's
with
fine.
That.
Yeah,
good clubhouse guy.
Good energy.
Lengthen
yeah,
out the
I like
lineup.
Him.
Not a problem. Number two, and this is where it gets fascinating, and this is huge. Andy Martino tweeting just a little while ago, the Mets have pivoted to Plan B, post Alonso. They now consider it the most likely outcome that Alonso will sign elsewhere. They add Winker and will add a reliever, possibly a top one.
He's gone. That's it. It's over. It's gone.
Okay, now I ask you, do you really believe that the Mets would go get Juan Soto, let Pete walk, add Winker and a top reliever, and not have something up their sleeves?
I don't, but there's a caveat. The general manager, he is very adept at doing lower-level things, at least perceptually, that become big things. And he's probably also a lot more willing to roll out three unproven players, and I wouldn't do that with Soto.
Here's what I would say. Remember you said before about your cannon?
Yeah.
That if the Mets get Vladdy, you point that cannon toward the Bronx?
Just to wake him up to get one more move, yep.
Well, if the Mets don't get Vladdy, that cannon is going to be aimed at the Mets. Because I'm good with this. As a matter of fact, I'm great with this plan. If it ends up with Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need him. Before it was, okay, well, if you don't get him, you have Pete. Now they've made their decision, and I find it interesting that on a day where the report, for the first time, this was Ken Rosenthal earlier today with The Athletic, for the first time we heard another team interested in Pete Alonso, and that team was the Toronto Blue Jays. I find it interesting that for the first time we hear another team, it happens to be the Blue Jays, and then the Mets immediately say, we're on a plan B post Pete Alonso. Here's Jesse Winker. Something's up.
There's a lot of smoke, and I think he's gone. And if that's the case, that would surprise me because I thought they were going to find a way to get this done. I thought that I've said this for a while that Cohen would, at the end of the day, right before you had to punch it in finally to get it in the end zone. Now it's time to strike a deal. All right, David, get it done. And he's not doing that. He's letting Stearns cook, which I think is smart because that's why you hired him. Now, the wording of this, and who had that report? That was that last one about Plan B, pivoting to Plan
Andy.
B. Andy had that. Okay. So the way it's worded, and much like, the Yankees pivot to Plan B, the Mets now pivoting to Plan B. Plan B can be really good, but it can't go to Plan C. To your point, Plan B's now got to include Vladdy.
Jr., that's it, yeah.
And if that's the case, then Plan B is actually Plan A,
right,
because Vlad is better than Pete.
And I would bet
But you got to get Vlad now.
I also think it's, you know, there is some posturing and potentially softening. Like, this is not going to go over well with Met fans, obviously. Especially not without Vlad in hand. Which is why I'm saying, like, it's kind of a warning shot. Okay, that I am fine with this as long as Vlad follows. I would think the majority of Met fans are going to be ticked off and upset without having Pete Alonso back. So imagine if Vlad doesn't follow,
mm-hmm,
the feeling. Like, you go from potentially the highest of highs with Soto and thinking about pairing him with Vlad to potentially a low of lows where, yeah, you get Soto, that's great, but you just lost Alonso and you get nothing else.
I think they'd be a lot more measured than you think now. And again, fans? Fans. I could be wrong, but let me just throw this at you. Now, maybe, well, this is going to expire fast. They're not going to be like this for 5 months. Understood. Let's just say Pete Alonso signs, well, today, Thursday. Let's say Saturday night, Pete Alonso signs a four-year deal with the Angels or Toronto, right? Pete's officially gone, but Vlad's not delivered yet. I don't believe the immediate reaction, like Saturday night.
No, I meant more,
I got you, but yeah. Okay. Meaning, I think that Met fans are okay with Pete moving on. Not all of them, of course. I got buddies texting me, guys that, you know, that I coach with in town, who, big Met fans, who keep saying, they're like, and they know what I say about Pete on the air. They're like, man, you know, you're not 100% wrong, but he means this and that. And I get that part. But I would have to say that there has been a pretty radical shift in commitment to bringing Pete back from the Met fan. I think at one point it was 99 to 1% years ago. Then I think it was 80-20 after the one bad year in 2023.
Yeah.
Now I think it's probably 60-40. And honestly, with the possibility of Vlad, I think it's probably more like 50-50.
Well, the possibility of Vlad was new yesterday. I'll tell you my own timeline. You know what we said years ago, and I stand by everything that was said. Okay. Everything that was said years ago.
Probably proven you're right here because they haven't signed them.
I took a lot of crap for that, but I stand by everything.
Yep.
But forget about that for a second. I also said that after the postseason, I want Pete back because they need another bat in addition to Soto. It was supposed to be bringing Soto in and having, you know, the lineup that you had last year with Soto on top of that. Otherwise, a better alternative. I threw out Willy Adames was my first choice before even I thought Vlad was a possibility. Okay, and then Vlad becomes a possibility, whatever you think about it. Then it turns out Toronto's not trading him. Okay, so he's off the board. All the other first base options are off the board. Now you got to bring Pete back. And even if it's for a short-term deal, just bring him back. And now you go at it with Alonso's going to hit 30-plus home runs behind Soto. It's a nice little lineup that you have there.
Mm-hmm.
Until yesterday's Martino report, when I found out about it being a realistic possibility that the Mets checked in on Vlad, also knowing that if that is their plan, checking in on him now, at the end of the year, it's going to be realistic, assuming he hits free agency, to just go buy him, and then everything comes together. So it doesn't mean that they need to get somebody right now, but for this season, they're thin. They're thin in the rotation. Even if they add a big arm, they're thin in the bullpen. And even with adding Soto, they're thin in the lineup. Thin. Now, I'm not saying like they can't win and get to the postseason.
They're not depleted, but they're a little light. Yeah, I would agree with
they're
that.
They're not as good as the Dodgers, the Braves, or the Phillies at the very least.
No.
Okay. Now, if you tell me that there's the payoff.
Or the Padres.
Yeah, fair enough.
On paper.
Whether it's Vlad midway through the year, you know, spring training, obviously, midway through the year, or at the end of the year, I guess I'd be okay with it. As long as losing Pete ends up with getting Vlad,
yeah,
I'm okay with it.
And you should be. But the difficult thing, maybe not for you, maybe though, and for others, is that it might be 3 months where you're dealing with no Pete and no Vlad.
Right.
And depending upon how the season's going, that's how the temperature's going to be going.
Right, but that's a big... Now, you know, if the season's not going well, Stearns, much like he did last year, will try to fix it. I don't know what the options are going to be,
yep,
but he's not going to sit on his hands and just say, oh, well, nothing we can do about
this. No, I get that. But he's going to try to fix it. He's going to try.
We just don't know what options are going to be out there, none of which are sexy or more appealing than Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
There's no doubt.
Doesn't mean that there might not be an option to get a bat to replace him. But going in, you're already now starting from a position where you're going to be behind, at least on paper.
Real fast, I think I have to point this out, because as we've gone through this, it's always been like, the Mets, at least for a lot of people, Mets are disrespecting Pete, you know, all-time Met, home runs, this, and I get that. Certainly an element to that. People need to remember what exactly happened. So to get to this point where if you think the Mets are being disrespectful to Pete or lighten the offer, which is financially disrespectful, whatever, understand Pete turned down a pretty good offer and understand that Pete fired his agent and brought in a mega power to make the Mets' life more difficult. And when you do that, you better deliver. And I don't mean 87 RBIs and 34 home runs.
He didn't.
So there you go.
He had his chance. So when Mets fans, before you start to get upset about the organization, everything BT just said is spot on. They wanted him back. They tried to sign him. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
Change of regime with David Stearns.
Yeah, things happen.
And he didn't. And he didn't produce. Like there were three or four things that didn't that Pete could have changed himself. He didn't. Turned him down. Went with the power agent. Had two down years. I was going to say even like he really wasn't good for 2 years. And outside of an incredible postseason home run, I think that the feel, including from me, would be I'm done with Pete. I was kind of done with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't see the better option. And now the Mets they kind of have to go get Vlad because either way, BT going into this year, it sounds like. It's on to plan B. No more Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. Vinny is in Cliffside Park. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Vin.
I think you're going to like this scenario there, BT. You know, if Alonso does go to Toronto, let him go to Toronto. His hitting coach is going to be Donnie Baseball. He's going to be batting 280 before you know it.
He could teach Donnie about scoops.
There you go.
The preeminent scooper in the game. That's funny. Yeah, Donnie's still up there. God, bring Donnie home at some point. Get him out of there.
I hope for Pete's sake, I'm not trying to be funny there, but I do hope that he has
me too
success somewhere else.
I hope it works out well. I hope he's happy.
I hope he gets a good deal and is happy somewhere else.
Yep.
And then I really hope that the Mets get Vladdy because then everybody's happy. Let Pete go somewhere else, get his money.
Uh-huh.
The Mets get the better player, the younger player, the better investment, the more exciting player, the more dynamic superstar player, and everybody's happy in that scenario.
And this is nothing that Mets fans are going to want to hear now. You and I did the mathematical projections, and it's actually 500 is a lot trickier than like people say, oh, he's going to get 500 home runs. Yeah, I don't know if he is, but
he was never getting that because they're never going to have him here long enough.
Correct. He was never going to retire a Met. I think Evan said that. I totally agree. But like, there's no rule that says, all right, he can't go, like, maybe he goes to Toronto for 3 or 4 years or Anaheim or the Giants, and he's sitting on 479 and the Mets bring him back for a year and he hits 500 as a Met.
Reyes came back.
No.
Reyes
came back.
Gary Sheffield did 500 with the Mets.
Real fast. This is a huge story. Yep. I know you guys are doing it on SNY tonight. Interesting pod for me. Unkillable Jets. All right, WFAN YouTube. We're going live. Spotify, Apple. Check out my Twitter. I've got Patino on tonight. It's a Jets pod, but it's about changing a culture of losing, which he's done everywhere, including the Knicks. I think you guys might want to tune in tonight. Really, really good.
And thank you to St. John for sending some merch to Hoff and I. Looking forward to going to the game next week at the Garden against Xavier. All right, that does it for us. Back again tomorrow. Discuss all the Pete stuff, also the divisional round weekend, so we got plenty more to do. Thanks to Dove, Hoff, everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.